remember, never forget. What exactly? Jesus, he reveals to some of his apostles a glimpse of the glory of heaven, the glory of God shining forth through him in his transfiguration. And to these apostles that he reveals himself, it's as if he says to them, look at the glory of Christ transfigured. Sear it into your memory. Sear this glory that you see a glimpse of into your memory, and do not ever forget it. Remember it, especially when the times of suffering come. Lest those times of suffering alone become something that define you. Remember, remember, remember the glory of God and his mercies. His mercies through which we enter into the glory that we see. And it's what defines us to our core. All throughout Scripture, we hear, remember the Lord God and his many mercies. Remember the Lord God and his many mercies. St. Augustine, in his autobiography, his spiritual autobiography, The Confessions, he says that the decisive truth about a person, their identity, is not what has happened to them. The decisive truth about you is not what has happened to you, whether they be any wounds or grievances or even your moral failures. Instead, your identity and the decisive truth about you, it's defined not by what you've done, but by what God has done. And this is the thing that Augustine does throughout the Confessions. He's recounting his many decades in the ways in which he strayed far from God, the many sins, but that's not what he's focused on. That's not what he's calling people to remember. He recounts it, but where he focuses our memory and his own is on what God did in the midst of those falling aways. He says, remember God and his mercies and see and behold the glory of what he did, what his grace did, even through all the ways in which I fell. And this is the main thing that he's confessing. What he's confessing is the glory of God. And he's giving praise to it. Remember and focus upon that. Imagine someone, I don't say this lightly, but imagine someone who has had horrible trauma inflicted upon them throughout their life. They've endured awful suffering at the hands of others. And someone who is perhaps well-meaning comes to them and they hold up for them this suffering. They say, look, look at the horrible things that were done to you. Sear these things into your memory. This trauma, don't ever forget it. Remember it always because it defines you. It is your identity. What? Could you imagine what that would do to a person? How it would warp their mind and their soul if continually all this genuinely awful stuff that happened to them was held up and said, remember this. This is what defines you. Keep your memory focused on it. How that would warp a person's mind and their soul, and it would affect all their actions. Imagine not just an individual, but imagine a group of people who suffered horrible traumas inflicted upon them, awful suffering for years and generations at the hands of others. And from one generation to the next, they tell the new generation, look, look at the horrible things that were done to us. And it's seared into their collective memory. This trauma. Don't ever forget it. This is what defines who we are. What's missing from that picture, though? Like, what's being forgotten entirely? God. They're remembering, they're focusing on something, but what they're focusing on is the hurt, the traumas, all that. What's being forgotten is God, specifically God with us. The God who enters into our suffering. The one whose glory is revealed. And in His mercy, He enters into our suffering. And this salvation is what brings healing, which comes from Him alone. Remember, but what is it? What is it that you're remembering? What is it that's focusing and shaping your memories? One of the greatest graces that I ever received on a retreat was something that was a healing of memories. You're like, what are you talking about? Healing of memories? Was it in the name? A person, when we look with our own eyes upon our lives and we have memories, and you look and you see a memory in which it's something horribly painful, a great suffering, and the memory is seared, perhaps the lie of it, that you were alone in this. And when a person, when any of us goes through that, there's a question that comes, which is really important actually. Where was God? Where was He? Where was God in the midst of this? In the midst of this great pain, this suffering, the sense of being alone. But the grace was that of a healing of memories in which He was being able to see the truth of where was God. He was very much with me. He was there intimately with me. That He wasn't just there comforting, but He was crying with me. He was hurting with me. And that it's a healing of memories in which you're able then to focus and to remember and to see what God was doing and what He did, even in the midst of something like that. Before I was ordained and started hearing confessions, I would play this game with confession. I would, whenever I went to confession, I would do everything possible to make sure that I went to a priest who had no clue who I was. It was a lot of hard work sometimes, especially when you're in a small town and you got to go. But, you know, the whole thing I was worried about, genuinely, I was thinking, you know, this priest, he's going to remember. He's going to remember me and what he sees me and thinks about me. What is he going to remember? He's going to think of, you know, some of the really awful stuff that I confessed. And so that was a genuine, like, thought and worry in my mind. And so I would just try and make sure that, you know, I find a priest who had no clue who I was. And then it didn't matter. It was just some anonymous person. But, you know, after I was ordained, this is when this changed, because I started hearing confessions. And, you know, you hear, and there are some priests who genuinely God gives them the grace if they don't, just don't remember anything in the confessional. But I want to tell you something. priest, if he remembers anything, it's not what the sins are that the person confesses. That's not what's seared into their memory. What's seared into the memory instead is the glory of God's mercy that that person receives. It's the radiance of this soul which came in darkened and sometimes dead and has been filled with the radiance of God's glory and His mercy. It's where a deep love for that sacrament is embedded in a lot of priests' hearts, because that's what's seared into their memory. Again and again, seeing this glimpse of the glory of God and the radiance of a soul that goes from sin and death to being filled again with the life of God. The church at Pentecost, Jesus, you know, throughout the Gospels, he tells his apostles again and again this strange thing. He says, the Holy Spirit will remind you of all that I've said and did, that I've said and done. The Holy Spirit will remind you. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the apostles at Pentecost, they indeed were reminded. But it's not as if their minds had completely forgotten everything that had happened with Jesus and all the things that they had seen, all the things that Jesus had done. It's not as if they had some amnesia and they'd forgotten all of that. Instead, the thing that they were reminded of, that they were able to see, was how all of it, everything from Jesus and the glory that was revealed and the suffering that they saw him endure, how all of that was toward their salvation. How all of it revealed how he was the Savior, and how God's mercy was revealed through everything that they remember and everything that they experienced with Jesus. Their own memories were being sanctified. They were seeing things now in a new light. And what did they do? Here they were, a young church, brand new, and they were filled with fear. And they had locked the doors. Why? Because they were afraid that what had happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. But what did they do when they received the Holy Spirit? They went from fear to this courage. And what did they say? Let's go have vengeance on the ones who killed Jesus. They're right out there. Let's go have vengeance on them. No. But instead, what they did is they went out before them, the very people who wanted to kill them. And what did Peter do? He said, the one whom you crucified is risen, and he died for you as well. So repent and be filled with his mercy, that you too might share in the glory of God. They didn't focus on, oh, these are the people who killed Jesus. No, they focused on God and what he revealed and what he did in the midst of that. And that's what they proclaimed. That was the gospel that they proclaimed. And even the early church, which endured periods of horrendous persecution, we remember the martyrs, the early Christian martyrs, right? But what do we remember about them? What is held up about those early martyrs who gave their lives? It was their faith. It was their courage. We're not sitting around thinking, look at how awful the Roman Empire was and how they persecuted us. We can never forget that, how awful the Roman... No. But instead, it's holding up the faith, the courage of the martyrs, and what God did. What God did, how the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. And with wonder, we see his glory. And how through his mercy, that's how we enter into that glory as well. Look at the glory of Christ transfigured. Sear it into your memory. memory, and don't ever forget it. Because your sufferings, even your moral failures, none of that defines you. But instead, remember that what defines you, your identity, is God's glory and His mercy. How through that, who you are is a beloved son and daughter of God the Father, who has salvation through Jesus Christ, and who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, that you too might reveal to the world what has been revealed to you, the glory of God purified and made visible through His suffering.